We try here at the times that we're with you on the home front to encourage your faith and to create an enthusiasm in your heart for the right things in life. It's like I tell people so often, you're going to do something, you know, whether right or wrong, you're going to do something. You are, as in your mental capacity, like a thinking machine, or as a computer, into some kind of program that's going to go into your computer. You know, it might be wild, it might be your own idea, and the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes, you know. You might think it out to your own program and be all mixed up when you think you're so right. A lot of times we think we know something, and the Bible said we don't know something as we ought to know, and a lot of times the thing that we ought to know is that we don't know what we need to know, as we're wrong about what we do think we know. But nevertheless, we're trying to find the truth. That's the main thing. If we're honest, hearted, and sincere, we are trying to find the truth. The Bible said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from ignorance, free from doubt, free from sickness, free from poverty, free from fears, free from frustration, free from anxiety, free from death, free from eternal doom and damnation, free from a lot of frustrations of life. All right, so we are seeking the truth, and we come here to try to program the mind to where we can understand the truth and know the truth and go about life in a different way and have the fullness of the blessings of God. Because one of the major roots to the tree of life as to truth is to know that God says in his word, "I would above all things that ye prosper." That's one of the things. He wants you to prosper. The devil can tell you anything, but God wants you to prosper. Naturally speaking, to have an automobile if you need it, a home if you need it, a car to ride in if you need to get somewhere, in a home if you need to get out of the rain and the cold. The things that's necessitated to life, he wants you to have them, food, clothing, whatever it might be. He doesn't want us to be gullible nor be overcharged with these things of life or have our minds upon them that the day should come upon us unaware. We need to look for the Lord, trust in the Lord, keep our mind on the Lord, set our affection on things above where thieves don't break through and steal and where moth doesn't corrupt. Inasmuch as the Bible said, wherever your heart is, you set your affection there. That is the place that your spirit is going to abide in eternally. Or if I set my affection on something, then my heart's going to be there. That's going to be my world. So we want to set our affection on God, and we want to just realize that God does want us to be blessed in life as to the necessitated means of life. And not only that, but he said if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. He'll make us to ride on the high places of the earth. He'll feed us with the heritage of Jacob. His blessing will make us rich and add no sorrow. It is God that giveth us the power to get wealth. It's the Lord that wants us to have all these wonderful blessings. He'll make all of our beds in the time of our sickness. Whatever we do will prosper. We'll be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of waters, and we'll bring forth our fruit in our season. Our leaves will not wither. So then, God wants to bless us. It's God's will to bless us. But he also says that he wants us to be in health. So it is God's will that we be in health. We should be in health. He doesn't want us weak, contemptible, run down, no strength, fatiguing body. Even though sometimes we are fatiguing body, we run ourselves down from sitting up half the night watching TV, reading magazines, running after the world, sports and everything, and all the foolishness of the world, and we give the better for the worse or the more for the less, and we find ourselves all run down. But it isn't God's will for us to be like that. It's all right to give your health for God. He'll reinstate you. He'll reimburse you if you use yourself up for God. But you can want businesses and money and education and prestige and all this kind of thing, position of life, careers, and you can use your life up, as we say, the better for the less. Jesus said one time in preaching to the Pharisees, he saw their zeal, their fleshly zeal, and he said, "Isn't your life that you're using up to obtain, using this life to obtain positions and whatever?" He said, "Isn't your life worth more than all of that?" That is, isn't your life worth more than the meat for the belly that you labor to get? You use your life up to get the meat and fill your belly with the meat. Isn't your life worth more than meat? And he said, "Isn't your body worth more than the raiment? You use up your body in labor and toil to get raiment, to pretty up the flesh, you know, to make it look good in the eyes of the people." He said, "Isn't your body worth more than all of that glamour and those rags, the old tattered rags that you use it up to obtain?" Use up life and use up the body to obtain the lesser of life. As to the lying vanities of life, that which will pass away, which really doesn't amount to anything after you get it except responsibility. And once you get it, I say, the IRS is after you and the parasites are after you. And if you get riches, everybody is after you. And you know, it's just a rat race sure enough then. And after a while, you've got ulcers of the stomach, you've got cancer, you've got depression, you're broken down in your mental capacity. Everything's gone wrong. Your nerves are berserk. But the Lord wants you to have health so you can rejoice, to praise the Lord, have abundance of living. He doesn't want you to die a premature death. The Bible said, I will fulfill the number of your years. As to 70. At least he promised you this. And then said, some shall live longer by reason of strength. But on the other hand, there's the third part of the blessing, as we say, the threefold blessing of God, and that is the root to the whole thing as to the tree of life, and that is, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And if the soul doesn't have any prosperity, then you've played the fool with all the other, because Satan is after those things as to health. And as to the natural prosperities of the world, and that he's the prince of this world, and that God rejected him in the spiritual world, and he's cast out into the natural world, and he's the prince of this world. He's the ruler of it, and he says, I'll give it to anybody that'll bow down and follow me. Just let this old mind of corruption be in you, and this old mind of gullibleness be in you, and this old mind of wanting to go after the things of the world being used, said, and we'll just frolic together. We'll be friends together. And as Abraham was a friend of God, you can be a friend of Lucifer and a friend of the world. For the Bible said, if you are a friend of the world, then you're the enemy to God. And if the love of the world is in you, the Bible said, the love of the Father isn't there. Well, anyway, to be as to a spiritual mind, not to be carnally minded, to be intellectually or to be carnally minded is death. That's the old tree of knowledge. And the day that you eat thereof, you'll die. Or if you abide in that as to the love of the world, the Bible said you live in trespasses and sin, you're dead while you live. Some people twice dead, plucked up by the root, in that they've already crossed over the boundary line and they don't even have a chance for redemption. But being spiritual, then we find a root to life. It's the tap root of the tree that goes way down into the waters or the water tables. Then you can cut all the other roots that go around to strengthen in the time of winds or tornadoes or whatever the troubles might be. Cut one or two of them, the tree will survive. But if you cut that tap root and it can't get water, it dies. It goes way down in the water. But as long as that spiritual root is down into the waters of life, as it says concerning the tree in the book of Revelation, where it says, and the tree was there as to the river of life. And we say the trees of life in that they were planted near the river of life, and the taproot going down into the earth right at the river of life. Naturally, they draw the water of life. And through the branches come the wonderful fruits of life as the leaves for the healing of the nation. So we see that being spiritual, as to, I would above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. A threefold blessing of God is to the complete blessing, not only as to have a natural inheritance, as God gave this to Adam when it was in its pure virginity, saying that God at that time so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to redeem it, having seen it fall into the problems, wanting it to bring be brought back to its virginity stages that we might enjoy it. He came in a human body, robed himself in human flesh that was called the Son of God, to give his human life and to get life, take it from that human body, to transfer it over to the right side of life, into the right form. God did that he might restore it, bringing back the millennium and the restoration of all those things that have been taken away through the foolishness of man, that he might give us back the fullness of life. See, been following you all these years through the ministry and through the word and through all these things, proclaiming the good tidings, the great tidings of great joy, saying peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Ever since the angel appeared to the shepherd on the hillside, that he might bring about these wonderful things to you, to tell you how much he loves you, and the devil perverting your mind all the time, trying to get you to run from the very safety, love, and strength that's trailing you, trying to tell you that God hates you, he wants to destroy you. He's trying to take everything away from you because he keeps telling you not to do this and not to do that. And like a young boy going down the road, you know, he's driving 75. He's got himself a new car. He just learned to drive, and he's spinning his wheels, you know, and the law's after him saying, son, don't do that. And that thing whispering in his ear, or some other boy sitting over here half drunk saying, step on the gas, you know, put your foot in the carburetor, and don't let that bunch of junkies back there catch you and whatever, you know. And so he thinks he's cool, and he doesn't know that the law back there is the only one that's got any good sense, and up ahead the curve is going to take his life, and his blood's going to be spilt, and his brain's going to be scattered, and that the law's trying to help him, or he's going to wind up in prison, or he's going to kill somebody and wind up in the electric chair. You know, it's murder now if you do something, same as if you took a gun and shot somebody, if you do something like that on the highway, kill somebody. So he doesn't know it. God is trying his best to get him reconciled, that is to say, the sinner. But the devil is whispering in his ear, Satan, drunk off the cares of life, the prince of life, knowing that he's cut off from everything else. Maybe a good kid that's been raised up in the right kind of home that could have had the right kind of understanding. Another child that never had any understanding. No prayer behind him. Maybe he's been a renegade all of his life. Through life, you know, and still a renegade. You understand what I'm saying? And corrupting the youth. This is the trouble of the world today. The parents haven't eaten sour grapes. The children's teeth are on edges. Not having to teach them anything. But getting back to the originality of our thought here, the whole thing begins with the Word of God, as to neglect or the tutoring, or as to the parents, or as to the home, coming on down to the generations, or as to say, in the beginning was God. God trailing us, trying to get us back to the originality of the home that he gave Adam and Eve, which was so beautiful. And the devil whispering in our ear all the time, causing us to run and hate God, because we get the idea that God is trying to take something away from us because of our gullible desire, Satan's inspiration of wanting the filth of the flesh. And yet there's nothing that God takes from us. If it's the passions of the flesh, man can have woman and woman can have man. They can marry to avoid fornication. They can have the little home. You don't get anything outside of that except the lust of the flesh as to covetousness and diseases and corruption and filth. And as the Bible said, she'll say stolen waters are sweet, but you know not that her guests are in the chambers of hell. So it's nothing but the lust of the flesh. And whatever, you're not robbed of anything. Satan cannot give you anything. All he does is pervert what God's already give you through the spirit of misuse. And that trap you and take you away from the good things of God. That's all. And in the end, you find out that you're a fool and you've gotten into the web of life that Satan has spun as to the sparkle and the dewdrop of the morning, as to the glitter of that beautiful thing that looks like life. And after a while, when you're tightly caught in the web, the spider closes in for the kill. It's like a springboard to start with, and it's real jubilant. But after a while, it becomes a prison, and you find out that it wasn't like that at all. You can't get loose. You can't get loose. I said that to say this, and that is that we get so misled, folks. We get so deceived, and yet we go through life thinking we're brilliant, that we know, and we get hard, and we get callous, and we get so stern and set in our ways, and we can't listen to anybody because we already know. And the worst deceived person in the world is the person that deceives himself. If I'm deceived by somebody, somebody can help me. But if I deceive myself, nobody can't help me because I won't listen to nobody. All I'll ever know is what I know because I ain't going to listen to nobody else to tell me. If there's a variety of things, I'll never know it because I'll never listen to nobody but myself. But if I can get to God that knoweth all things, to let all men be made a liar and listen to the word of God, let it be truth, and start from there, in the beginning was the word, then I'll get a good understanding, because the Bible said all them that are born of the Lord have a good understanding. The Lord shall make him of a quick understanding, because his spirit shall be upon him. And knowing back in the originality of things, that the only true history, as we say so often, is the Bible. Because college and because school and because all of the studies of all educations, even the Mormons that have the most thorough records, even beyond that of Washington, they still have to go back to the Bible. So we've got the best of all. Knowing that it teaches us that the understanding comes from God. All of the other is nothing. So having, as we say, the blessing of the Lord as to the root of the whole thing, as to spiritual consolation, then God gives us the natural blessings of life without the curse. Seeking first the kingdom and letting him add these things instead of going after those things without God to get the infiltration or the curse or to be under the regime of the condemnation of Lucifer. So we find that having the spiritual, eternal blessing of security, that it secures our natural blessing as to our natural inheritance given to us as in Adam, which will be restored when God lifts the curse as to the change of the body, and that it's already been lifted through Calvary, and we can have the blessings by faith even in this life, in that godliness is profitable for this life and the world to come. The Bible says God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, whether it's naturally, physically, spiritually, whatever. But having the spiritual security, that is to say, if I have natural inheritance, as the Jews really do have as their inheritance, or if we have physical inheritance, as the Gentiles do have, in that they are medically wise and they go after that as to keeping up the body, whether it be jogging or weightlifting or human physics, as to say the physical side of life. Or if I have those two things, as coming to the third, the greatest of all of the wonderful enterprises of God, and that is to say spiritual, then I have, as to my spiritual blessing, eternal inheritance, as to a spiritual security that will secure eternally my natural inheritance that the Jews do not have, and fixing to run into trouble because they don't have it. They lost it in the beginning because they didn't have it. And that which the Gentiles do not have, because if they had it, they would not lose this wonderful inheritance as to bodily health and all of the things that they obtain through medicine and physicians and whatever. They're going to lose it. It's going to turn into a nightmare. For the Bible said that day there'll be no healing medicines, and even as the Jews are driven out of their homeland, be taken from them, so will the Gentiles be driven out of their medical world as to healing, and not even death will come for consolation, because in that hour they'll seek death to get out of the misery and won't even be able to die. But we being Christians, we have all three. For we take the spiritual consolation, and then all the other are added unto us. And that way we secure, not as a lying vanity, but the real true thing as to natural prosperity, as to physical prosperity. Our spirit secures it forever, and we have it eternally as to youth and health and strength, blessings and wisdom and honor and majesty and glory. And it's all ours, for the Bible said all things are yours, because God has given you all things that pertain unto life. All things are yours, and you belong to the Lord. So then we see what a beautiful thing that God has done for us, in that he reveals these things to us as the revelation or the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world not knowing this, for the Bible said, if these things be hid to them that are lost, in that Satan, the god of this world, having blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they shall not see when good coming. But you and I see. And as it was said, Jesus, why do you speak to these people in parables? The disciples asked him this question. He said, if it's not given unto them to know the mystery, but it's given unto them to hear the gospel, that they might be guilty in the day of the judgment. But unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, because that's what transforms your mind, translates your spirit, and transfigures your body to the end as to the change of that glorious body. Let me say this just before we read. I didn't mean to get into so many things here. Just want to clarify a thought. People, a lot of times we confess ourselves to be wise, and the Bible says confessing ourselves to be wise, sometimes we become fools. And inasmuch as when God was in the world having been made by him, and there was God as Jesus Christ walking the world, that is to say, to wit, that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, but giving him grace. But there he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And because they knew him not, it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching men should be saved, in that even the foolishness of God is wiser than men in their wisdom, just to say the foolishness of preaching, hollering and screaming at men to repentance. But we're talking about the real knowledge of God this morning. And so then we say that man thinks himself to be wise, but he's not very wise. And a lot of times we look at it like this, that if you're going to have natural prosperity, then you put your hands to the plow and you nail and you saw and you dig and you plant and you try to manage and you try to have the right kind of understanding, even educational wise. See, and you try to be conservative, you try to use wisdom. And when it comes to the human physics, as to when it comes to the physical side of life, or as it comes to the human anatomy of life, you put forth a little effort and you jog and you weight lift and you go to the physicians, and that the Bible said that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and they poured in the oil and the wine as to the man that found the a man to the wayside. He bound up the wounds, and inasmuch as we find the medicines are good, the mere heart doeth good like a medicine, these kind of things, the sick needs the physician, whatever it might be. You know, you do whatever you can for your body. You try to strengthen it. You exercise, whatever. So, you don't help God, but you just do what comes naturally because of your natural blessing. He wants you to have it. And going about these things, it automatically works so that you obtain these things, because as to a natural effort to plant, as to the planting, so the reaping. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you dig a field and you plant plenty, as to your strength, then you have plenty. So you have to have a physical blessing to be able to get your natural blessing to build your house. All of them work together. But if you don't have any spirit in your body, then are you dead and in a coffin, so your physical isn't any good as to your health. And certainly you don't have any natural thing if the body can't do anything. So it all hinges on life as to the spirit. So I just said that again to say this, as to properly evaluate and give the preeminent thing as to its proper place. And to expedite the cause of that which is the most important. So, looking at this, we see people, they will do that as to the human physics. They will do that as to the human anatomy, as to the natural side. They will do that because they know they have to do that. But when it comes to the spirit, they're so ignorant. They just accept the fact that he is God. Because he is God, he loves them. And because he loves them, everything's going to be all right. They don't have to do a thing. They don't have to pray. They don't have to fast. They don't have to study the Bible. They don't have to leave off with the worldly ways. They don't have to try to develop good character. Though the Bible's told them to do all these things. Let everyone that named the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. The Bible said perfecting holiness unto the Lord. The Bible said to live the overcoming life. The Bible said come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things. And I'll receive you, saith the Lord. We're supposed to perfect holiness, the Bible says, in the Lord. And the Bible said we're supposed to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. For he is the spirit of holiness, and without holiness there's no life. Because the only form of life is holiness, because he is the only spirit of life. As to the abundant living, and God whom we serve with our spirit, because he is a spirit. And they that serve God or worship God must worship him with their spirit. Or Paul said, whom I serve with my spirit and my mind, and that your mind is your spirit. See, but they don't do that, and they leave it off, and so they die. They eternally lose out. They're doomed. They're gone. Because it takes all three of those things to be able to obtain the fullness of life. Whereas usually it works the other way, as with real Christians. They'll go after the spiritual side of life, and a lot of times they don't mind going after the natural side of life. But sometimes they're careless as to doing anything, whether it as to a medication or whether it's as to any means of keeping up the physical side of life. And they lose out in that a lot of times because of their ignorance, and life becomes depleted because of that, and they lose that, but they do obtain the spiritual, whereas the world loses the spiritual, but they do obtain the physical. And a lot of times people are just kind of, as we say, kind of loose leaf, wandering about like wandering stars, you know, and they don't do anything really to take care of the natural side of life as to an inheritance. They build houses and they put up little studs like toothpicks, as we would say, and that sounds exaggerated, but compared to what they used to build them out of when I was a boy, you know, they don't build them where the wind can't get them. Used to, they built houses, according to the Bible, where the wind don't get it. I don't care who lives in it. Doesn't matter. They get you money and you're in debt for many, many years. You understand what I'm saying? You're tagged with the IRS and everything else. It robs you. The thief and the robber gets it, throws you into the ditch, and you're wounded and brokenhearted, and you take your own life or whatever, or you're so broken in life you don't feel like working. You become a hippie just to wander about whatever. And you don't do, even as the Jews do as to keep up their own life, have their own school, have their own government, own way of life, and keep their own little land, and have their own natural prosperity, and build out of the stones, and they have something as to an inheritance, as to a land that's going to last eternally. God will run it through the chains and set up his kingdom there. See, and yet they become very foolish because they've turned to the things of the world. Now God will put them out of their land, put them through the fire. For the Bible said, all flesh is sinned. hopefully just corrupted his way before God. All has wandered away, done their own thing, turned to their own way of life. And God has laid upon Jesus, even the God body, the iniquity of us all. And the only salvation is through his Spirit, and the only freedom from iniquity is that the body of death be taken away, and that he was smitten. We esteem him smitten of God, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. Anyway, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the only life is in Christ Jesus. And we can run it back from the natural to the physical, and we can run it back all the way back. But folks, as I say so often, I'll kind of end this little thing here, is this word before read, and that is, we can go all the way back, you know, as to history or whatever, the study of mankind. And when you get back, it says, in the beginning was the Word. There was a sound somewhere. There was an old expression somewhere. And there come forth a sound that said, let there be, and there was. And a sound has been ever since. It's to the human body echoing down to us. And through that sound or through that word comes faith. And from that word faith, as to the hearing, comes vibrations. As to these ears that get down into the heart, as to that vibration into the bloodstream that is relative to that spirit, which is to you an energy, as into its first applications, and then into that innermost secret of the heart, which is really the place that would be silent so far as the world's concerned, and yet it is the only place of life. But when you go back beyond the beginning, we say in the beginning as to Genesis, meaning beginning was the Word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. But when we go back beyond the beginning, and I say that a lot of times, because if I say in the beginning was Brother Taylor, then I say, well, what about before Brother Taylor came? And if someone would say, well, what do you mean? I said, well, Brother Taylor was the beginning, but if there was no Brother Taylor, then what? I said, well, it was nothing. I said, well, yes, there had to be something, because Brother Taylor come from somewhere. What was before Brother Taylor? I would say Brother Taylor's father. So then we say beyond the beginning. So if the beginning was you and I, that in the beginning, which means the beginning of the world, the beginning of creation, beginning of you and I, but beyond the beginning, what was? That was our Heavenly Father, who was the Spirit, who cannot be seen or felt, nor heard or known or whatever, except he manifests himself through tangible means of the human family, as through this world of conformity, as to the human senses, which has been made subject to vanity, as to make us relative one to another, that he might express himself one to another. Beyond that field of activity, that illumination, that activation, that motivation. See, he is the great light into which no man can approach, whom no man has seen or can see. And Jesus Christ is the only human body that is a derivative from God, born of the Spirit, a divine conception, he alone dwelling in that light, having immortality. He's the one that dwells in your heart as the only one made heir to the glory of God, and your only hope of that glory is Christ in you, the hope of glory, even the glory that he appeared in as he stood with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, in that they're already in glory, and he appeared there in glory. And the Bible said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. So, I'm saying that beyond the beginning, that's where the light is. And as I was telling my wife the other day, we look around, we see this world of lying vanities. This world of lying vanities. All is vanity, 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 and vexation of spirit, Solomon said. So then I look at the world and I say, my God, then it's not real. It couldn't be real if it's vanity. And the Bible said, he that observes lying vanities, he forsaketh his own mercy, and that God is the great God of spirit. And everything that we get is from God, and he is our mercy. Then if I place my affection on things below, and if I absorb these things, or I look to these things, then I forsake God, who is my mercy, because I don't have any confidence in him. If I lean on the arm of flesh as to trust in the vanities of life, even as to that which feeds my belly, in that the old serpent, as to the generation of vipers, is on his belly, and all of his labor is for his belly and his mouth, because he has been made subject to vanity, as to the creature, as to a process, as to conformity, because of the fall and many things that we could say and have said about this, some of you don't take. See, so if I am subject to all these things, Then it is vanity of vanities. If I become subject to this, if I give my mind to this, then my life and spirit is in captivity to it. For that I subject myself to, I am its subject, and it's my master. But in that it's all vanity, it's like a film. You see the film, you see the image, and you think, the image, that's it, the image. I'm looking at the image, but that's only a movie. It'll fade away. And the film, then we say that's it, it's to the interior, but that's not it either, because the film is dead if the light is gone. So then we say we cut the light out, then what is it? Is it the film, is it the image, or is it the light? Then we'll say, my God, it was the light. That's where the life is. So God is the great light into which no man can approach. That is to say, if I say understanding, I'm speaking intellectually, and yet that is darkness, because it's spoken of in the Word of God as darkness. But if I say light, then God is the great light, and I'm speaking of light. I'm speaking of light, the great light. So He is the great light, which means understanding. With wisdom, get understanding. All this world is but vanity, and your life has been subjected to this vanity with a people that are a creature of vanity. And as the eagle in the barnyard with the chickens, one day the little cry will come, as it was when the eagle flew overhead, and you're going to discover that you don't belong to the barnyard where the stench is, and that you can stretch out your wings and you don't belong to the chickens, but you are made for the high, high heights of the heavens, and your nest is among the rocks as to where the fresh air is. And as the little eagle, as to the illustration lifted out of the barnyard, so as to Jesus born to in the stable, as we say so often, among the beast, it was to let you know that that body was beast and that it had fallen to a beast level through the sins of Adam and Eve, and that God had come into a beast realm and into a beast body, and that Lucifer was the god of that vanity world, a beast world and beast body. And as Jesus said, they are swine and there are dogs that wallow in their mouth and lap their vomit as to their practices of life and their gullible desires of life and their educational vanities of life, which seems to be something ever learning and always ignorant, never coming to the knowledge of the truth, not even recognizing God with all of their intelligence and God's understanding being higher above their understanding than the heavens is the earth. God making His understanding revelation to them that are willing to learn even as babes, not being given to them without to know these things, and yet it's given to you because the veil is moved away from you, even the veil of death that fell over the eyes of Adam and Eve there at the garden. That veil rent in twain and gone. That veil that was over Rebekah's face when she entered into the secret chambers there with Isaac, that veil gone, and you're free. You're free from that intellectual darkness that's looking at the light through the darkness, not being able to comprehend. It's not hid from you, but you see as face to face. As I say so often, not seeing as to the hinder part from Calvary back as to an intellectual concept of God, but seeing as to the brightness of this side of life, which the Jews have not been able to see, but the veil being rent in twain, and you're able to see the light as to Christ, comprehend Him as the great revelational truth, in that Jesus being in the bosom of the Father, having declared God, God is a declaration as to a spirit that we transformate into or translate into or transfigure into, in that He is another dimension away, and we're moving into that great dimension. And even as you from a child transformate by your mind into a college education as to a type of this, so do we by spiritual things transformate into this wonderful world of light and life, bringing us a translation from an instantaneous birth through the sacrificial efforts of the Lord Jesus as to God's grace given to that as Christ wiped away our sins, believing in His righteousness. So we believe on Him, even our faith that overcometh the world. This is our victory. And by faith, in being translated that He should not see death, our spirit translated into Christ's spirit is eternal life, and that is the only form of life. And then the transformation as to a graduality through the educational side of it, coming to our diplomacy of life. And then all of a sudden from this, that instantaneous change as to Jesus appearing on the mountain and His illumination as to the body glistering and being whiter than any fuller soap on earth could white the garment. Or that is to say, the instantaneous change of Thessalonians, change into the very image of Almighty God as the flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, to be the very God bodies to members in particular thereof. See, that is to say, we are being redeemed. We sing that song, I'm redeemed by grace divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign, for I have been redeemed. All by faith. You know, and we could go on and we could go on and we could go on, because there's many things I had to say this morning. Jesus would have many things to say to you, but seeing that you're dull of hearing, I can't do that. And seeing that we're limited in time as to you having to go wherever you've got to go, I'm not going to have time to get into what I want to talk to you about this morning, so I just said these few little things here as a forerunner. I'll just read this, chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. And that's all I'll read, because I'm not going to have time to get into my thought, nor my sermon, or anything else this morning. But I will conclude a few little thoughts here in trying to find a place to close and let you go. And that is, since we see this, and maybe tonight I have some things that are important that I'd really like to say, and maybe I'll get to say them tonight. They're very important to you and to me. God gives the shepherd things for your good, not him speaking. Bible said, not be him speaking, but God speaking from within him. Let all the world keep silent, because God is within his temple. Being down at the end of time, seeing the crisis that's over in the foreign fields, knowing that this is the end of the world, and of course seeing Mr. Bush fall into the trap, just like we told you. We told you that he went to fall into a trap, he fell into a trap, now he's in a trap, he's been mocked, and everything's going exactly the way we told you concerning the Jews and whatever, and Mr. Bush don't know what to do about it. But anyway, seeing that it's the end of the world, God still gives his ministers the understanding that they might guide his people and might help his people, and that we might know what's happening, that we might continue on. As the song says, he knows the way through the wilderness, and all we have to do is follow. So, seeing that God has done this for us, and he's trying to help us, to say that we sum it all up in one statement, and that is, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, and that we're made in the form of God, or he was, though not robbery, to make himself equal with God, and yet he sought to make of himself no reputation, but become very humble, even unto death, even death at Calvary or of his cross. So that you and I should humble ourselves. For God giveth more grace to the humble. He resisteth the proud. But to let this mind be us and possess our body, then this body can become a beautiful temple of life, to abundant living, overflowing otherwise because of the mind of Satan in it and the satanic forces in it. It becomes a death trap that we'll try to explain tonight. All right, let's stand together. We have many other things to say, but we've kept you quite a long time here just talking with you. Sing, praise the Lord a little bit, and let you go. I don't mean to talk so fast to you, but the only thing that I can do is kind of hurry up, because the impatience of the flesh is the Satan pressing the people. You have so many things to say that even with hurrying, you only say a few things, and you really don't get to say what you need to say to the people. Through human vocabulary expression, it's so very difficult. The things of God are so great. The Bible said, great is the mystery of God. I'm made a steward of those mysteries. And now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even to that that's in the heavenly places, which is so high above the earth, and yet you know it. It's revealed to you, and yet it takes so many words to say so little, just to get over so little. Heart seems cold, and your friends seem few. There is someone who cares for you. When there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who's a friend to you. Can you say it with me?
someone to care. There is someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend, and he cares for you. Let's sing this little chorus. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave his son to die on their stake. And he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Thank God, oh, his marvelous sing
grace. Grace.
Praise God.
Praise God.
There's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see his sweet face. With him I'll rule there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous,
marvelous grace.
Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see his sweet face. With him the Lord for his
wonderful, marvelous grace.
I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, with their pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for his marvelous,
wonderful grace.
Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his sweet face. With him we'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. Let's give him another hand. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see his sweet face. Hallelujah. Can you love the Lord? Can you praise the Lord? All right. Let's sing this little chorus. Give me another key, friend. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings like
an eagle.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, just to wait. For they that wait upon my Lord shall renew. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. The Bible said, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be not weary in well doing. Let's sing this little chorus. And if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, together we can stand. know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes, look up ahead, 'cause there's the mountaintop. And when we stand upon the hill, be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other. You'll move over just a little bit. I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems long, love, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit. I'll help you carry your load. Sing with me. If I help you carry that load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes, look up ahead. I can see the mountain top. And when we stand upon the hill, be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord. Shout down the other. Let's sing this little chorus. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion, 'cause that's the only kind it is. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion, 'cause it's a good one. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Can you sing that? I want that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. 'Cause it's good enough for me. So give me that. Give me that old-time religion, 'cause it's good enough. Better get that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion, 'cause I want that old-time religion. I want that old-time religion. Ain't nothing but the old-time religion. Nothing but the old-time religion. Nothing but the old-time religion. All the rest lying vanishes. I've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion, and can you worship the Lord? Oh, got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. Worship the Lord. So give me that old-time religion.
Give me that
old-time religion. Give me that. Give me that old, let's tell everybody about it, can't we?
Give me that old, give me that
old-time religion. I want that old-time religion.
Want that old-time
religion.
Want that old-time religion. Good enough for me.
Better get that old-time
religion.
Are you happy, folks? Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Nothing but the old-time religion. Nothing but the old-time religion. Nothing but the old. I preached around the world. Never found anything but the old-time religion. Never have. Anything else has just been a lot of lying vanity. But this will make you happy. Deep down within, this will make you happy. And when you really turn loose and worship God, you're going to find out you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm telling you like it is. Long as you're formal and cold, you don't have anything but an intellectual believing. And if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe. But when you get salvation and down in the heart, maybe I'll explain a little more tonight if the Lord will. But I tell you what, it'll do something for you. Sing it again now. Got that old time religion. Can you turn loose and worship the Lord? Time religion. Got that old time religion. You better get the old time religion. Better get the old. I'll tell you one thing. I've got that old. One of these days when death knocks at your door, time comes to walk the lonesome valley. You're gonna want more than an intellectual expression. You ain't gonna lay there cold. You're going to want some joy. That makes me want to dance. I'm always dancing on the inside anyway. Time religion got that old. Time religion got that old. Time religion. Enough for me. You better get the old religion better. You know, my wife, she don't see me, but so many times on the way by myself to dance and pray to the Lord, she may do the same thing. Got that old time religion, I got that old time religion, got that old time religion, and it's good enough. So give me that old time religion, old time religion, give me that. Religion. Let's give him another wave offering. Better get the old time religion. Better get the old time. The Old Testament, they give him a wave offering.
Time religion. Good enough.
What did men everywhere lift up holy hand without wrath and without doubting? It reminds God of his son Jesus in Calvary, where your sins are taken away. I tell you what, folks, I challenge you to worship God, to let your spirit go, to love the Lord. You'll leave from here and all day long you'll feel a joy. You'll feel a victory. The devils will leave. When you serve God with joyfulness of heart, all of that drab feeling will leave. You won't have to go to a television to get Jack Benny. I think maybe he's dead now. I don't know. Some of them passed off the scene. Bob Holt or whoever's around, or these other new comedians, whatever they are, I hear their names once in a while. You won't have to go get them to stimulate you and pump you up like a flat tire. You'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You won't have to go to watch television to get some Western, some drama, some love story to make you feel good and full of life. Folks, you'll be full of life from your head to your feet, and you'll be happy, and life will be a great drummer, except you'll be the main player. And God will be your abundance of joy, and heaven will be your reward and your paycheck at the end of the day. Time religion got that old time religion. Why should you sit and watch a movie? You sit and watch a movie where they're hollering and screaming and having a good time, and you just wish that you could get inside that movie and get inside that scream and be part of that life, when it ain't nothing but a bunch of fictitious make-believe. Folks, you got real joy. Those people die in depression. They go to hell. When they'd love to get out here with you and get this real life. Did you know that? That's only vanity. But you got real life. You're really alive. Time religion. One more time. Time religion. Give me that old. Somebody's up over time, Brother Pine. We used to go all night long at the dances and we're going fresh in the morning. People go all night long with their parties and they turn up their bottles. And they're just getting starved at midnight. What are you talking about? That's where revival come from that sweeps the world. Give me that old-time religion. All that's in your head. Old-time religion, give me that. Go to ball games and scream and holler and wall in the dirt. They don't get tired. That old-time religion, give me that. Old. What's wrong is people's eating themselves to death. If you don't do nothing but get a little exercise while you're praising God, that's good for you. Give me that old-time religion, give me. If people get a little more exercise in God and praising the Lord in the dance, praising God in these things, it wouldn't have to be pumping steel all the time and jogging all the time. A woman got run over the other day out trying to jog.
Give me that old-time religion.
One more time, we'll change. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. All right, let's sing this little chorus. We're going to sing another chorus or two and let you go. He was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line, but he was here all the time. Can you sing it? He was waiting till I got through with my foolishness, waiting till all my fleshly ambitions would burn down, waiting till I'd done all the things I wanted to on my educational stride in life, standing in the coldness of my shadow, waiting till I finished all of my fleshly doings, and then tenderly saying, and I was here for all that. And I was here. You come down to death's door, come down to sorrow, come down to heartaches, loss of loved ones, afflictions, all these things. Waiting patiently for my time. Line. I was there. Can you sing it one more time? He waits patiently through the years. How tender, how wonderful, how patient. The Lord was here all the time. My Lord's been there all the time. Waiting till we burn out on the world. Waiting patiently in line, but he was here. Can you sing this with me? And he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he healed me. We sing this song.
sweet
the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now, Lord, I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see.
Can you sing it with me? It was grace
that taught to my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did that grace so pure. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear the crown. Oh, I'm gonna wear the crown. Oh, I'm gonna wear the crown. Oh, oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear the crown in the new Jerusalem. Holy Ghost crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem.
Let's give him another hand. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together.
Gone. That stone is rolled back, gone. That tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side.
Can you say it?
For he's gone. All the death triumph is gone. Death defeated, gone. He's alive.
Now that's what it says.
For he's gone. The stone has been rolled back. Gone.
I saw the tomb. It's empty.
Gone. The scripture says, sit at my Father's side.
Far he's gone. Over death triumphant, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. We pass from death unto life.
Gone.
Now we're going to sing it like this. Remember the heart of stone. Moses got it in the stone to Calvary.
For it's gone.
The stones that it was graved in the stones up to Calvary. But Jesus came, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the heart graving of those stones. Off to Moses, singing part, folded it up and laid it away, and took out of you the heart of stone. And then after that, he made you bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he gave you a heart of flesh, even the heart of his own body, wrote upon you the laws of grace and constrained you by his love, placing within you the heart of flesh. Now let's sing like this.
For it's gone, the heart of stone, it's rolled back, gone. This fleshly tomb, it's empty.
The body of death is gone.
I sit at my Father's side, the inner man, within the kingdom of God which is in you. For I'm gone.
over death, triumphant over the body of death. Sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive. I once was dead in trespasses and sin. Now I'm alive forevermore. For it's gone, the heart of stone. It's rolled back, gone. At death the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed for the body of the Lord Jesus unto death, under the law. For the transgression of the law is sin, and the sting of sin is death. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. And where there's no transgression, there is no sin. And where there is no sin, there is no death. And where there's no death, you have eternal life. For your passion, death, and the life, and the gift of God is eternal life. So it's gone. I saw the stone. It was rolled back. Gone, been to Israel 7 different times. Tomb, I saw it was empty. Gone to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death, triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, he's alive because he lives. Ye shall live also. One more time together. For it's gone. You can see the stone. It's rolled back. Many people have gone there. Hundreds and thousands of people. God has let the Gentiles and the churches go in there to see. Because it was always a myth as to God. But now they've been there and seen there's a holy name. They've taken films. It's been on TV. It's been shown by pastors to their congregations with slides and films. Many thousands of people as tourists have gone there. Now they know there is such a thing as a holy land and a tomb and a Calvary and a Golgotha. Numbers of you that are standing here have been there. Brother Vince has been there. Others have been there. See, you've no excuse now not to serve him. For it's gone. That big stone, it's rolled back. The angel had rolled away the stone when Mary got there. She saw that tomb. It was empty. He had ascended. His garment was laying there. And the angel said, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, but he's not there. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the women of today, as those women, rose up early in the morning to seek Jesus? These were great women that had their minds on God all day long. And they went to seek Jesus. And they were found at the tomb early, seeking the Master. Wanted to know what had happened to their Lord. Far is gone. And the men were just like that. Just as soon as those women come back and said, the tomb, the stone is rolled away. Peter, he took off in a trot, in a run. And those men were gone. They wanted to know where their master was. Wouldn't it be wonderful if men of today were interested in their master instead of what they call the almighty dollar? You can't serve God mammon. You're the slave to one or another. You can't have your mind on your body of jogging and weightlifting and your face and your phone of that old body of death and your old intelligence. You've got to have it on the mind of Christ and give this body to him. Give this body to him and be the temple of the Lord, or it's going to be a prison one day. Oh, he's gone. That stone is rolled back. Gone. That tomb, it's empty. Remember, your body is now dead. It's a body of death. It's just a tomb now. It goes back to the dust. It comes from the dust. It's released life. It's released to prison from dust. Are released, the spirit was in prison, from dust to art to dust, not shall return. It's just dust. And the life of God has gone back to God who gave it. Death And we're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. He redeemed this life back. And he's putting it back into that Son of God, Adam, that new image, that temple of God, that one that pleased him. You love him?
So I will praise him.
Can you sing that?
Praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory, honor, peace. For his blood has washed away every stain.
Can you lift your hands up with me now as we sing this?
We will praise him.
The days of the Gentiles being over, the Jews will come back in. I was just thinking about Richard the Jew, having him to come up and close, give us the benediction. If Richard will come up, Jesus said, watch and pray while you're out on your journey today, going to and fro, going to the cafeterias and wherever, you'll be out there with the world. And remember, the children of this world, their mind is taken into captivity at the will of the devil, and the devil will kill 100,000 of them people just to get to kill one of you. Like Israel, there's not many people in Israel. Just a few people, comparatively speaking, as a small nation. And some nations are so bitter, even all of them are boycotted against Israel. They give 50 of their people to get to kill one of the Israelites just to make them extinct. And they're tight. That bodily redemption, the Bible said, and God will redeem Israel, which means redeem the body as to the spiritual Israel also, the true Jew. See, their time of redemption will come. There is in our body, our spirits in heaven with Christ. Been born again, little children, such are the kingdom of God. So you watch and you pray. It's a bad world, folks. You're in Satan's world until you're born again and your spirit goes out, but this old body is still here, remember? I will praise him. Keep your mind on God. Watch and pray. You know, I was just thinking this morning, yesterday, having a little discussion, the ball game, I think going down the road, the dogs. I don't know. It's either the devil's, the dogs, the yellow jacket. Like I said, Jesus born in a stable because it was a world of beasts. Then he ascended out of it after he corrected everything, showing us that we're down here in a world of beasts. Adam and Eve subjected to the beast realm because they listened to the beast's voice, to the devil's voice, to the beast. But anyway, about 80,000 going over, and sometimes 100,000 going to the ball game. People killed, spending their money, vanity, and thrown into the bed. And I thought, that's horrible. My God, that's horrible. Vanity of vanities. Some of them having heart attacks and going to hell right there. As a matter of fact, when that bridge caved in out there in California and all that calamity as to many people being killed, the man that was over the ball game out there, that's having a great, great rehearsal for the ball game out there as to the practices. I used to be a in that, you know, I said my daddy, he was there, and my uncle was a coach, and I was big in ball games as a boy. I thought it was a big thing. I found out it wasn't nothing but foolishness. But anyway, he made the statement, said he felt that was the act of God. Even though he was over the ball games, he felt like it was the act of God, and it really shook him up about the ball games. But I thought, that's horrible. But I heard a little voice speaking to me that spoke like this. And it says, sports, foolishness. Foolishness. It really is. But said, there's also other phases of sports, which I've told you a lot of times. There's other phases. I've spoke of these things. But he spoke so emphatically concerning this. Said, hunting, sports. The Olympics fixing to come to Atlanta, the worst thing that could ever happen to this state. It's coming in. Everybody's enthused over it. They don't know how horrible that's going to be. It's going to come in and lift them up like a queen.
When it goes out, it'll leave them out like a witch. Had to bewitch you. Leave them empty and drab. And after that, you'll see the whole United States go down like you took the air out of a tie. And everything will turn back to Europe, as to the United States of Europe, and Antichrist will come in and the end of the world will come. Watch and see. Let's see. Atlanta will be highlighted. We made a statement that it would come today, and that's come. And Bush said, now her time has come. Great queen. She sitteth there, the queen. Torment her the more. But anyway, I heard the thing say, it's hunting. And then I heard it, as it was said to me. Did you know, as far as I know, if I believe this is correct, if I was informed right, that there was more people that went out to hunt, as to yesterday being the official opening for the hunting, as to sports, than there was as to soldiers that went over into the Middle East to fight? More than 500,000, I believe it was. Somebody said, we're having a crisis. Mr. Bush is over there taking all of our money. This crisis, the all, and yet they went out with their guns, and they got guns and guns and guns. Saw one picture where a man's guns were just stacked everywhere on the wall. And yet they've got ammunition and ammunition laying on the shelves and everywhere, and buying ammunition and ammunition. And yet they just fire and shoot, go, and the gas that they use, ride up, and all the vesture that they use. And the people that are killed in all of this, and the suits and the money that is spent and given to them, and to take care of life, and little children that lose out because of daddies being dead and mothers. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, it just comes to my mind that there's a girl here that I believe one of her brothers or someone was killed out hunting. I believe she's right here. And maybe her dad also was killed with a gun. I believe in that one family. But anyway, in all these things, and that's just a little bit of it, as all the licenses have to be sold, the money, all these kind of things. And we strain it a net, swallow a camel, blind as a bat. What is it? Not listening to the word of God. The parents have eaten sour grapes. It's no wonder the children's teeth is on edges. While you do all the things you do, mother and daddy, and frolic, the children rather go out to passions and everything else and live it up. So they're only doing what you program them to do. That's the program you put in their computer. You just do yours in another way. That's all. That's all. That's all. Whether it be movies or TV or whatever it be. All right. We're going to sing this, of course, one more time as our brother comes and dismisses. Appreciate you coming this morning. Didn't mean to take too long, and I don't think I took all that long anyway. And I will praise Him, as I often say as to the early church. Paul preaching all night long, and they tarried so many hours, even for days, until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Many days they tarried. We got too much time for the world. Somebody said, well, you take too long to worship God. Well, you take all of your life for your flesh. Whether you're hunting, eating, drinking, watching TV, riding. Whether you're gossiping, backbiting, you waste your time. That's a prison. You take all of your time for that foolishness. And your whole world is nothing but a flabbergasting prison of idleness. This is the only little time that makes sense to me, that gives you freedom and has a heavenly freedom. The other time you're in prison. And I said, well, we like to eat and drink. The Bible said all of your labor's for your belly, because your belly and your mouth craves it of you, and God has put the old serpent on his belly. And all of his labor's for his belly, a generation of vipers. The axe is laid under the root of the tree at Calvary, and God has cut it down. Even clear back to Calvary, as out to the garden, is to where it started. But now there's a new tree, even a tree of life. And this is that with the heat. Leaves for the healing of the nation. And this is that with the fruits, as peace, joy, long-suffering, meekness, and your fruits being whatsoever you ask of God. It delights God to give you the desires of your heart. Health, happiness. Let's just lift our hands up and close our eyes as our brother comes. As a brother Jew, as I said, if the days of the Gentiles were over and the Jews was coming in, what would it be for you?
as darkness and sorrow and heartaches in the church, which is the light of the world going out, then no wonder his kingdom will be filled with darkness. The only source of light will be gone, which means true understanding. And no wonder that the medicines won't have any healing. It's not your brilliant doctors and your science, falsely so called, as to knowledge that is really ignorance. But it's God having given you all these understandings, even for your own electrical lights, which is a typical thing. And when God's mind goes out of here, scientists is going to be ignorant. They're not going to have any understanding for healing medicines. It's God's healing while the blood is on the seat of atonement for his people. But the devils and intellectual demons have boycotted around it to keep God's people from it, froze them out, Jim Jones them, done everything he can against church, and made a money thing out of it, rob them, take all of it, and make them go through the hog wallow and the hog pen, strip them off like common prostitutes and whoremongers just to be able to get a little bit of healing medicine, as it would for God to those that are weak. They're sad, folks. All those things are aid. But put your faith in God. Keep your faith in God. Do what you can, but keep your faith in God. He's with you. He's for you. He wants to help you. And God will run the abstract. He'll get them off of your properties. He'll do away with all of that. He'll put the swine back in the pen where they belong, and the dogs back out in the yard where they belong, and the son will be in the house again. While you've got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up now, brother, coming to pray with you.